Welcome to the Honor It All podcast. I'm Honor Garrett, your host, and we're here to honor all that is good in the world. Each podcast, I interview top professionals from around the globe who are making a difference, impacting lives, and creating positive change. Today, we have Dan Kraft, a body worker and holistic pain specialist. He helps people solve the most complicated and confusing cases and has a company called Reprime Yourself that provides education and programs to help people rehab themselves. What I think makes Dan so amazing is his ability to take all the things that have happened to him in his life and use his journey to learn, innovate, and create special protocols to give people hope that their pain isn't permanent. I'm so honored to have you here today, Dan, as part of the Honor It All podcast. Welcome. How are you?
I'm doing well. Can't complain. It's so great to be here. Thank you for having me.
I first met you on Clubhouse, and I think, frankly, I was just really impressed by how much knowledge you had about the human body. And so, and then your story as well. So I was like, I really need to get to know this guy. So can you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, your childhood? You know, how did you first get interested in health and fitness?
Yeah, I started very, very early, which is kind of unusual for most people. Like, I started working out when I was 11 years old. So essentially, when I was in the sixth grade, the DARE program came to our school. For those who don't know what DARE program is, it's called Drug Abuse Resistance Education. So they came to talk to kids, talk them out of doing drugs. But they happened to talk about like bullies and this particular day. And I remember they were talking about people just like, you know, using force, like beating people up for the lunch money. And I'm thinking to myself, because I'm about to go to middle school, I'm like, oh man, like I don't want to get bullied. Like, and so like in the summer, I was like going into it, I was like, what am I going to do about this? And then, you know, my dad like went to the health club a couple times a week. And so there were dumbbells in the living room, just 10-pound dumbbells. And just one day I saw it, I thought to myself, maybe if I bulk up, they won't pick on me. And so I picked up the dumbbell, and the only thing I knew at the time were arm curls. And so I literally started arm curling 10 pounds. It was like pictures like an 11-year-old arm curling 10 pounds. And I'm doing this and I'm feeling myself working the muscle. I'm like, man, this feels good. And so just from that moment on, I was in love with working out. And so that really started just a love for the human body. And by the time I was 12 years old, I was waking up early before school to go work out. And I said at 12 years old, I'm going to be a personal trainer. That's what I'm going to do. And so it literally started early. And then growing up, I was pretty antisocial. Just wasn't, you know, my parents weren't very social. And I feel like I didn't really learn great communication skills growing up. And so while the other kids were kind of like going out and partying, especially in high school, I literally had books about muscles and I was studying the muscles at home. And so it just became my obsession because every interacting with people at the time was pretty painful. And so the way to kind of escape that was by going into my body and working out and just enjoying that feeling. And so it really started early. The passion really started early. And so that's pretty much like how it got going. And just has grown from there.
That's amazing. I mean, well, first of all, kudos for being such a resourceful kid and being smart enough to go, wait a minute, I can do something about this. I don't want to be picked on. And then recognizing how great it made you feel, because I think a lot of people, when they work out, they do it because they feel like they have to. And they have this mindset about, oh, I don't want to do this, but I have to do it. And And how did you have that mindset? Was it just you recognized you were very in touch with your body and how it made you feel?
You know, it's interesting. I think part of it was like also like growing up, like I kind of saw two sides. Like my dad like was 10 years older than my mother, and my parents had me pretty late. My dad was 47 when I was born, and my mom was 37. And so I saw like he'd go to the health club twice a week. He would run twice a week. He was always really healthy and really good shape. So when I was, you know, like say 13 years old, my dad was 60. But he didn't act like a 60-year-old. He acted like a 50-year-old because he was so healthy. But my mom on the other side never took care of herself. And she was overweight my entire life and was unhealthy, taking lots of medications, She was also a nurse. And so she has indoctrinated this idea that whenever you have issues, there's a pill you can pop for it. And so I saw both sides growing up. And I think that combined when I just felt weak and I just didn't like that feeling. And so I think just those factors combined just led to me, you know, starting to pick up weights. And then once I felt the feeling of it and the feeling like being strong and sore and all that, I just fell in love with it. So it just kind of grew from there. And that's pretty much started my journey to body awareness.
Well, and honestly, if people would just give it a chance, they would realize that your brain and your gut are making serotonin and all the endorphins and all, you know, so there's really a chemical and physical aspect of feeling better.
Totally. I think also like from when I talk to people like who are not interested in working out, what I've found a lot of times is either their families weren't into it and they kind of ingrained that, or they had some bad experience at school. Like they tried a sport early on and they weren't good at it. And they just decided at that point that they weren't an athlete or they weren't physically gifted. And so that's something that I've found as I've talked to people as well, is that they had one bad experience. And then when we're young, we internalize that and we internalize in a very black and white way. And then that becomes our identity. And then we just go on like that. And so every time they work out, they're resisting an identity that was built maybe when they're like 8 years old, 10 years old. And so it can be hard for them to overcome that, because every time they do it, they're having that internal resistance that's pushing against them.
Well, absolutely. And sometimes you create that when you're super young. They're internalizing it and it doesn't serve them anymore. And it's a lie. Yeah. You know, people think that just because we think something that it's true, but we tell lies to ourselves all day long.
What I found, and this also reflects my own experiences, that when people have a lot of anxiety or a lot of stress, that does have a significant impact on the nervous system. It's just been the way that it operates, and just in a way it affects their bodies. And a lot of times people who are in pain had a prior history of anxiety, especially those who have gut issues. And so it is certainly something that's very, very important and something that's near and dear to me, because I used to have a lot of anxiety. And so because of that, it's definitely a major player and something that is always addressed first rather than last.
That's so good, because I just think that so many people will come to a personal trainer or just want to get help and they do have a pain or they whatever, but they think there's no way they can get out of it. And they don't realize that it could be connected to trauma. It could be connected to something else. So, you know, that's really interesting. I mean, as a life coach myself, I mean, helping people navigate their journey is always of interest to me, but you really specialize in helping people eliminate and reduce pain. So do you take a holistic approach? What does that look like?
Yeah. I definitely believe that holistic approach is ideal, because my belief is that anything that happens within the body can be resolved within the body. Because if it wasn't there when you were born, that means something happened along the way. And so we just had to figure out what that thing is. And if we can figure out what that root cause is that caused whatever that reaction is, whether it was pain or gut issues or something else, then we can provide a solution to undo that and let the body heal itself. And the body wants to heal. The body is designed to repair itself. You learn that in science books, that, you know, the cells repair itself, your body rebuilds its skeleton every 6 years. And so the body wants to repair itself. And that's why we sleep. That's why we digest food. That's why we absorb nutrients. So the body can repair what it uses. And so when someone is not healing, their body's not repairing itself, we have to ask the question, why? And usually what we find is that their body is locked into this stress or survival response that is essentially keeping the body stuck and preventing it from healing.
Yeah, absolutely. That's brilliant. And if you can get people, I bet when people come to you, they just have these light bulb moments, because you're bringing these concepts and ideas to them that they've really never even considered. So, I mean, what I would love for you to share with our audience, I know life can throw all of us a curveball. I mean, COVID did that, but yeah. even other things in your life that can kind of propel you into a different direction. And I know you have quite a story yourself. Would you share that with our audience?
Yeah, absolutely. I first want to say is a lot of times, like, people, like, when they're in pain, they feel like it's going to last forever or they can't get out of it. I think also because it can be so confusing because they don't know where it came from. Less like they had an accident. Even then, if they had an accident, they might fear the accident messed them up forever or caused them permanent damage. But a lot of times, it's so confusing why the pain is there in the first place. And so I think helping people understand how their body works is and why the pain's there gives, like I say, gives them that light bulb moment, because now they understand the process and things that are contributing to it. And they realize that now they have power to do something, because if you don't know how the body works, a lot of people, they're not in that field. They haven't studied it the way I have. And so they can feel kind of like powerless. It's like, well, I got this thing there. I'm taking pills. I'm trying to sleep better, trying to do these things, but it's not working. So it can be really frustrating. And so when people can finally get the tools and have that understanding of why it's there and that they can do something about it, provides a lot more empowerment for them. And that allows them to move past it, be able to live pain-free long-term and be able to keep the habits and create new habits that help them stay pain-free.
Absolutely. I mean, knowledge is power. So it's amazing. Just even in my journey over the last few years, the more I know, the more I do not know. I mean, you just keep learning so much and it's fascinating. And I know you did have a traumatic incident. You had a surfing accident, and did you actually break your neck?
Yeah. So when I was 12, I told you guys I want to be a personal trainer. So I got my degree in kinesiology in college. And then my first job out of college was at Equinox. And this was in West LA. And so this was my dream job. It was the job I was shooting for out of college. I knew that was like a high-end gym, they had good education, all that. Like, this was the place I wanted to be. So I got that job. And so I became a trainer there. And so through that time, you know, it was going pretty well. You know, you have your ups and downs, first job. You know, but I really found a passion for corrective exercise and fixing postural dysfunctions, movement issues. And I found that was really kind of where my zone of genius was. And I became really good at that. And then 9 months into it, I went on a surfing lesson with a member from the gym and another coworker. And that member had said he'd been surfing for 10 years. He wanted to get into instructing surfing. And so he invited me to come along. And so I said, sure, why not? I'm down to try it out. And so it was going fine. Then 2 hours in, we were sitting on our boards. I noticed he was straddling his board, so I decided to do the same. I'm just kind of following along. And we're sitting there in the middle of the ocean. A wave comes out of nowhere, and I have nowhere to go. And so I'm straddling my board. It's hard to get off it. So I try to get off. I jump off the board into the water. My body gets in the water. My head doesn't. The wave hits me in the side of the head, throws me back 20 feet. And from that point on, so I got up and I realized that I was a little bit dazed. So I was like, okay, I have a little bit of a concussion. I'm like, well, it's okay. It's just a concussion. No big deal. Have had them before. So I go to work the next day because that was Sunday and everything's fine. Concussed, but a little bit out of it, but I'm okay. I go to work the next day. I'm virtually symptom free. So I go back home and really tired from work. My roommate has a friend over. And he's like, hey, let's get tacos for Taco Tuesday. You know, when someone's like super excited, like, yo, let's get tacos. And I'm like, you know, I'm just like, dude, it's like, you just got done from work. You're tired. You're like looking forward to relaxing. And then he's like, yeah, let's get tacos. And something in my gut told me, don't do it. But so I go along. And so we're driving there. My roommate's driving fast. We're going 45 in a 25 zone. And there's a storm in this. The road is really choppy at one point. And then we hit a storm drain that's sticking out of the road. And the car bounces up and I feel something split. And like right in the back of my head, just like right in this area. And then from then on, that's when things started to go downhill. I woke up the next day. My pain was, which was a 0.5 out of 10, like before that bumpy ride. And now it's 9 out of 10. So I went to work. Took care of a client and then went straight to the emergency room. So So I was just, I wasn't feeling good. And so told me it was just concussion, just rest, you'll get better. And so.
Oh, these I'm are like, the okay. ER doctors were telling you this? But yeah. Okay.
Yeah. They did a CT scan and everything was good. So I'm like, okay, just concussion. But from that point on, commuting to work became a real problem. And so I was commuting 15 miles to work. LA is a very, very big city. And I became very sensitive to bumps in the road. Like every little bump would cause my head to snap back and get concussed every single time. And so every time I commuted to work, I would arrive, I'd be dazed, I'd be out of it. It would take me a little bit to get to it. And every continuous time I commuted to work, it got worse and worse. Eventually, I'd arrive at work feeling like I got hit in the head with a baseball bat. And so it just got worse and worse. And then I tried staying at coworkers' places and even sleeping in my car in the parking garage. Didn't want to commute from home. And so I just tried so hard because I didn't want to lose this job because I'd worked so hard to get it. And so, but I just reached a point where I'd accept that my health had to come first. And so talked to my parents and decided that best thing to do was to move back with them and basically move home, which, you know, was humbling, you know, when
nobody wants to do that. I know, but you know, it could be thankful you have parents that could take you in. I mean, it's a double-edged sword.
It is. Yeah. There's definitely a sense of gratitude, you know, having people are there for you. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know, it wasn't necessarily the most positive environment, even though, you know, I love them, they love me. Mm-hmm. And so I knew that I was going back into a negative environment, the one that really caused a lot of unhappiness in my childhood. And just humbling, you know, going from being by yourself. And I felt like I was riding high. I felt like a lot of things were starting to go my way. And I was like, rather than happen, does everything just get pulled away? And so it was just a really painful, painful time. And I was just really miserable. You know, it was so bad. Like there were times where it was so bad where I was like, should I end this? Like that was a conversation. There was a conversation I had where it was like, should I end this? And then I thought about it. I was like, you know what? Let's give it 6 months. Let's see how it goes.
Pain is so hard to be in, like real physical pain. Mm-hmm. I've talked to so many people who are in so much pain and chronic pain. And they've told me if I could have just pushed a button to end it all, I would have.
Totally hard.
So how did you make the transition? How did you find answers and get relief? What happened?
Well, first it came from finding no answers. And so, you know, everyone knows like when you're in pain, you got a problem, you go to the doctor. So I saw more doctors, saw more neurologists, saw more specialists. And they told me it's just concussion, just rest a little bit better. I'm like, well, and said at one point to the chief neurologist advisor, I've been resting for 6 months and I'm not getting better. So clearly something's going on here. And he just didn't believe me. He thought maybe I was doing something or I was taking risks, something, but like, I couldn't even move suddenly. I had to live my life like it was slow motion. I couldn't drive more than 5 miles because everything would jar me. So I was literally living like a very minimal life. And so he just keeps telling me, just rest, you'll get better. I'm like, dude, I've been resting. I'm not getting better. Something is going on here. Like maybe there's a blood flow issue. And then he gave me the smartest answer of how it could not be that. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of times like how the industry is. They can be very cold, very non-empathetic. A client told me, a doctor once said to her that people in chronic pain are master bullshit artists. And they're just trying to get drugs. So there's a big disconnect sometimes from the people who are in pain and the people who are treating them who've never been in pain. And because if you've never been in pain, it's hard to understand how could someone be miserable and in chronic pain every single day? Like I've had some people tell me at the time, like, oh, you look fine. Like it's just in your head, like you're fine. You get told that by the doctors. And so it's just the frustration from the system itself was really one of just the turning points because it says so frustrating that I'm not getting help I'm looking for, not getting the answers I'm looking for. And so that was pretty much like that point. Then that, in addition, after about 6 months of living at home, I couldn't take it anymore. And also, I was just watching myself decline, because like the way you stay sharp is by doing stuff and taking action, and the way you got to be challenged in order to stay sharp. And so I'm just living at home, doing nothing, like waking up with no purpose, like no objective. And it's just like, it wasn't enjoyable. Just seeing myself just decline. And so I decided that I'd rather just work in pain, because at least I was happy while doing it. And so moved back to Los Angeles and started working. And so this is where my own journey of discovery started happening. And I tried to apply to an Equinox closer to my house, but even with the manager's recommendation, I did not get the job. And I was just that messed up mentally. Even though like my mind was still in it, like I'm gonna recover, I'm gonna do this, like I just wasn't in it. And so that, I remember one day I think it was the next day after the interview, I was really just in a lot of pain. And I realized that wallowing in pain was not really productive or helpful. It just made me focus on the pain. So I started going on really long walks. And that day I was feeling really bad. I went on a long walk. I walked 10 miles, literally walked 10 miles.
Didn't that make it hurt worse or no?
As long as I was gentle, like I couldn't run, but like anything that was like gentle, it's okay. So walking was okay. And so I walked 10 miles. And on the way back, I walked by a physical therapy office, and there's a sign on the window that says concussion rehab. And I go, what the hell does that mean? How do you rehab a concussion? And so I get assessed. So I go in, I get assessed 3 weeks later, and he said, hey, you have a neck injury. You have instability in your neck. He called it cervicogenic headache, which means that you have a headache coming from your neck. So it's a very broad diagnosis. Because most of the time when people have migraines, when they have headaches, it's coming from the neck or it's coming from stress, which can cause neck stiffness. So it's a very broad diagnosis. But it was kind of a light bulb moment. It's like, okay, now it's not just concussion, it's my neck. The neck is a joint. I did corrective exercise. This is something that's solvable. And so the rehab didn't work. And he told me to try this out in 2 weeks, come back. And 2 weeks, nothing changed. And so I went back to him, and he basically looks at me and says, I don't know. And this is important. When describing to me what he thought I was supposed to do, he has the neck anatomy out, and he's having trouble naming some of the structures in the neck. And I'm looking at him, and I'm dumbfounded. And I'm just like, is this really happening right now? And so I asked him in disbelief, you don't remember the anatomy? He's like, dude, I've been out of school for 15 years. And I go,
but you do this every day.
Oh, God. And so that pretty much gave me a view into the industry, where a lot of the practitioners are just kind of doing it as a job. You know, they're not actually passionate. Their parents told them to go to school, get a good job. And even like in college, when people go into the physical therapy, maybe chiropractic, a lot of them looked like they'd never seen the inside of a gym before. They looked like a lot of them were really unhealthy. And it's like these people who've never worked on themselves are now going to work on other people. And even this guy, like he was a nice guy, but like even him, like he had a belly, like he wasn't like the healthiest person.
I know. Well, it's the same thing with a trainer. Do you really want to go to a trainer that has a big beer belly and doesn't take care of himself and is overweight? I mean,
exactly. Assuming that they're not like currently on a weight loss journey and making changes, but like, yeah, like if they're just kind of letting themselves be overweight, it's like something's not right here. It's like, and so, you know, I really believe that, you know, our things that we call gifts often come from internal exploration that we then goes outward, because it's impossible to learn everything from reading a book. You need to apply it. And I think the best way to learn is by practicing yourself, because then you start to grasp nuances and things that you can't, that won't be picked up in a book. And you encounter different problems. And when you have to figure out how to solve them, then you have to come up with solutions. And I think that itself is what I really think is the generation of true talent. It's from being intuitively aware, being aware of yourself. And then you transfer that awareness to then other people, because you then have the knowledge yourself. You know, Bruce Lee always said, he said, know yourself to know others. And I think it's so powerful. And especially when it comes to pain, I think that if you don't know your own body, it's going to be hard to understand other bodies. And especially with life coaching you do, if you don't understand your own psychology, your own emotions, how are you going to understand others?
I mean, I always tell people you can only take others as far as you've gone yourself. Yeah. Because you don't know. It's just like you were talking about people who doctors that have, don't even know what chronic pain is because they haven't experienced it. So that's why I think it's so powerful for people to go to, whether it's a coach or whether it's a fitness trainer or whether it's a chronic pain specialist, to go to someone who's been through it.
Yes.
They've had that journey. They know exactly how you feel. Mm-hmm. They know exactly the stumbling blocks you're going to have or the limiting beliefs. They know exactly how to push through it. So I think that's so amazing. And I tell all of our listeners, you know, Dan's been through it. So if you're suffering from pain, he's been through it, and he's been through it for years.
Yeah.
So
how? It was 19 months.
Wow.
19 months straight of just crippling headaches. Now, it's not every time it was that crippling, but always bad, always at least a 5 out of 10. And, you know, like what you were saying earlier, like people in chronic pain are like, oh, if I could just push a button, like end it all. Because the problem with pain is not just the sensation of pain. Because if I told you, hey, you have to deal with 9 out of 10 pain, but it'll go away in 5 minutes and it'll never come back. You'd be like, okay, like I'll get through it.
Childbirth.
It'll suck.
For me, childbirth.
Yeah, childbirth. Exactly.
You know, because, you know, it's painful, but it's over and you get a beautiful gift.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, it's worth it to get through it. And so you can grit through, like, if you know that it's temporary. But when you're in pain and no one tells you why it's there and you're trying to go to practitioners, no one's helping, like, it gets miserable because, like, how long is it going to go on? You know, it's, and so then you're looking at like, man, is this forever? Am I going to live my entire life like this? And that's where it becomes like, can be, you know, debilitating, you know, mentally, emotionally. And as you know, from the end of my story, the reason I had all these headaches and concussion issues was because my neck was broken. I had a fracture in C2 with the dents. And so the great thing was I didn't know this, because if I think I knew I had it, I would have been scared to mess with it. Because there's all these fears like, oh, if you get a broken neck, you might be paralyzed. And it depends on where it is and what nerves is affecting. But like, it's scary. And so thinking that I just had some instability in my neck, which I did, because I would look up, my head would be this. Like there was like nothing holding it. Oh. And so I was literally like a bobblehead. Like I'd hit a bump in the road, it would snap back. That's how I could get a concussed. And so
that would be scary.
Keep in mind, I'm only 24. I'm 24 at the time this happened. So I'm like, I was still young. So like, I estimate I had at least 15 concussions in that 19 month span. Like I had a lot of concussions, and as having short-term memory issues and just brain fog. And so it was just like, it was definitely. And one of the biggest fears was like, am I going to be brain dead? Am I going to get Parkinson's when I'm older? Like there's one point, like, remember, like when I was at home, my parents were like, I started experiencing tremors and like just my hand, like started shaking, like my crap, am I getting Parkinson's? Well, it turned out I was just really stressed out and my traps were tight and affected the nerve that's going down on my hands. And, but that was like a few days of worry. And then I released that and the tremors went on. I'm like, oh, okay. But it's just like, there's all these, like, it's a mind fuck. Like it really messes with your head because it doesn't relent. It doesn't relent. It's just, there's no breaks. There's no vacations. No, like, oh, I got a breather. It's just there all the time. And so
Well, that's what's so beautiful though about being able to know your body.
Yeah.
And I believe that everything on this earth, we have everything to heal ourselves, whether it's through food and nutrition, whether it's through mind and body work, mind, body, spirit, all of it can work, and energy work can all work together, you know, to heal us. What's your take on really the holistic way of healing?
Yeah. So I'll explain a little bit how I healed myself, and then I'll go into, And so essentially, like, while doing my research, because after the PT thing, that I guess you call it kind of a debacle, but also I guess a breakthrough, learning that was my neck. But so essentially, so I went home like, okay, like if I, you know, I'm kind of done something similar, like I can fix this. I was like, well, I can fix other joints. Like, why can't I fix my neck? So I was like, okay, I'm just going to figure this out. I was like, and I was saying to myself, I was like, if you're as good as you think you are, then you'll figure this out.
Well, you obviously are. Here you are.
It's kind of like, because I was a little bit arrogant, like when I was a trainer at the time. And so it's kind of like give myself shit. Like, let's go hotshot. Like, let's see what you got. Yeah. And so just kind of started doing my research and learning about things. And even though it gave me headaches to look at screens because I had light sensitivity as well, but, you know, just had to kind of break it up and do my research. So I learned that the longest coli, which is the neck flexor, the deep part of the neck, packs your neck down. Boxers use this to keep their chin tucked, prevent their head from getting, and so it provides stability in the neck. And I realized that it's most commonly injured muscle in whiplash accidents, which is what my accident was. And so I tried to activate mine. I had no feeling of it, which means I know that mine's weak. Plus, my head does that all the time. So when I look up, so I knew that was off. And so I'm trying to devise strategies to activate it. So I look on YouTube, nothing's really working. And so I start trying to integrate something I learned, this fascial connection called the deep front line, which literally connects your tongue to your diaphragm, to your deep core, to your pelvic floor, and goes all the way to your arches. This is one fascial line. And it literally provides stability for your entire body. Like, people think about core, there's always debates, like, what constitutes the core? Is it just the torso? Is it the collarbone? It's literally your tongue to your arch, the foot. That is literally your core. And it goes, it's one fascial connection.
Wow, and so I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Yeah. And if you want, I can show you. There's a book called Anatomy Trains by Thomas Myers. I actually have this poster behind me. But they have a cadaver, and they literally show the connection of all the muscle tissue going from the arch to the foot, through the pelvic floor, through the diaphragm, even to the lungs and the heart. And the tongue, and it's literally one fascial. And it's crazy.
That is really crazy. And that makes you realize how everything is connected, right?
Yeah.
Everything is connected.
Literally. We start as one cell and then turn into a bunch of cells. Everything starts from everything in the body is connected. Our skin's connected, our organs are connected, our muscles are connected, our nerves are connected. I had a friend made a post one time. He's just all nerves in the body. He's like, it said, regardless of what you name each nerve, it's all just one nerve. Because it's just, because it all connects back to the brain, just branches off into different areas. So
why functional medicine is so phenomenal, because you're trying to get to the root cause, and everybody just wants to address the symptom here and the symptom there. Or when you have back pain, you think it's your lower back, but really it's something else, your hip flexor, or whatever it could be.
It's
all connected, but what you think it is might not be what it really is.
Yes, exactly. It's that systems approach. And that's the approach, you know, that I go with as well, is the understanding that the body is a system that's designed to work together. It's a system of multiple systems, but all of them work with each other. And when one system is off, other systems are going to be off too. You'll see symptoms in other systems as well. And so that's why a lot of times people are in pain, they have different symptoms that could be all over their body. Someone could give me a list of 30 symptoms. And sometimes the root cause is literally one thing. It's almost like, if you can imagine like a tree, it's like the symptoms are like the branches. And so people are like seeing on the branches, but the roots is what anchoring the tree in the ground is what allows those branches to grow. And so the pain is like the roots of the trunk. Mm-hmm. And then everything else that comes up from the ground is what they see. And so that's what they think the symptoms are. And it's really somewhere else that's hidden. Yeah.
That's beautiful. That's a great picture. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's awesome. So you healed yourself.
Yes. So I had to address my anxiety. So I realized along the way that I had really bad TMJ, which is caused by anxiety, was actually pulling my neck out of alignment and was preventing my rehab exercise from working. And so I ran into a guy at one of the gyms working at who I used to work with before, who's just a really smart guy. And we're talking to him. He says, "Your TMJ is pulling your neck out of alignment." Didn't even assess me. He was one of those people, like, he could look at someone and know what was going on. And so he was a big influence on me because I ended up developing that skill too. I could not develop it. I was like, I got to figure out what the hell he's seeing. And so I developed that, but it was like, okay, at least that's something. And then later on, he told me, he said, "You got to get your anxiety fixed, man. It's effing you up." Mm-hmm. And he wasn't he's a very, very blunt person, not most emotionally intelligent. And yeah, but anyways, I was like, okay. So I go back home, I Google best books for anxiety. And so I come across this book, is like the first search result. It's How to Stop Worrying and Start Living by Dale Carnegie. Ah. And I was like, I've never heard of this one before. I've heard of the other one, of course. I was like, that's interesting. And so that book changed my life. One technique from that book reduced my lifetime anxiety, because this is the most stressful point of my entire life, by 70% in 2 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah. And wow. So.
So what is that? What's the name of the book?
How to Stop Worrying and Start Living.
Okay. By Dale Carnegie, right?
Dale Carnegie.
Okay. I'm gonna have to look that up.
Oh, it's a gem. It's like you realize as you go through a lot of these older books, like all these ideas, like when you first see them, you think like, oh, like you see Tony Robbins say something or Ed Milet or someone else, and you're what a novel technique. It's like brand new. And then you go back into the books from the 1920s, 1800s, even earlier, you're like, what's like, they knew about this back then. You're like, it's shocking when you realize it, but it's really true.
And many
true.
Of the famous philosophers,
Plato,
all of these quotes that we see today are based on a lot of their teachings. So it is interesting. But the one thing that I take away from all of this is the fact that you trusted your gut. You know, you knew something still wasn't right, and you were willing to figure it out and not just go, well, this is life, or oh, I'm getting older, or oh yeah, I just have a bad hip, or whatever it is. You were like, I can do something about this. And I think that's amazing. That's a great lesson. What would you say is your biggest lesson in your life?
In my life? Mm-hmm. Oh man, that's a very broad question. I realized that when you're willing to do whatever it takes, I know it sounds so cliche, we hear it all the time, you guys got to be committed, you got to do whatever it takes, got to believe it. But it's like, when your back's against the wall and you are willing to dive and fail, the world just parts. It's like no problem is every problem just moves out of your way. Like it's pretty crazy. And so I felt like I just kind of cut through the problem. Once we resolved the anxiety part, things moved along, and 3 months later, I was completely healthy and completely out of pain. December 31st was my 2017 was my last day in pain. So 3 months later, I got the MRI. So I was trying to get MRI for 6 months, but Obamacare delayed the hell out of it. And then the first doctor actually scheduled the wrong MRI. And so that took like a month. That took like 3 months to like schedule. And then when I tried to go back to the doctor, tell him that scheduled the wrong MRI, he then moved that network. So they get a new doctor. It took another like 4 weeks. And so by the time I got my MRI, it took 6 months. I was 3 months out of pain at that point. And
oh,
so,
wow.
And so that's when the neurologist came in and she says, "Dan, we looked at MRI, found something very interesting. We found signs of an old Dehn's fracture," that's the C2, "that has now healed properly." And I go, "What?" She goes, "Yeah, we were surprised because we didn't expect to find anything." I said, "Yeah, me neither." And so that was like the groundbreaking moment where it's like, wait, what? You're telling me I just rehabbed this by myself? I had my neck was broken the entire time. Like, what? Like, so I'd say, you know, now I'm thinking about it, I'd say the biggest lesson I've learned is just, I think that so many of us are stressed out and we're worried about things that really in the grand scheme of things don't matter. And that is messing up our bodies. So essentially we have two nervous system states, kind of three. And so essentially we have our fight or flight, which is, of course, we're trying to escape danger. It's like animals chasing us. Like we're trying to get away from danger or fight it off. Then we have our rest and digest. This is our parasympathetic state. This is where the body is repairing itself, restoring itself. It's like when you just woke up from a very deep sleep, is like you're relaxed. It's like you're chill. Like that's where your body restores itself. And so essentially when you're in fight or flight, your body is sending all the blood, all the nutrients, all the resources to your muscles so you can fight off the danger or escape it. And what's not doing is digesting food, absorbing nutrients, repairing cells. And so a lot of times in life, we experience things that we have stress responses to, even though they aren't physically dangerous. Might be like getting an argument with a spouse, could be financial issues, could be a lot of different things. Could be stress from work, a lot of different things. And a lot of times these things don't resolve quickly. Like if you're running away from a lion or tiger, once you're out of danger, it's like the danger's gone, things resolve. And a lot of times in life, things can go on for weeks, months, years. And so a lot of times people get stuck in the stress response and sometimes even go into like a freeze response, which is what anxiety is. It's like that deer in the headlights where it's like you experience a threat, but you're also frozen because you don't know what to do. Or you're afraid that if you do something, it's going to make things worse. And so
I think we all can relate to that in some instances.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. I think so too. And so lots of people get stuck in this freeze response and they aren't regulating back to rest and digest, either because of trauma or things in the life that's happening, that's still going on, that's still stressing them out. And sometimes even just a mother with young kids, especially a single mother, can experience this because like it's nonstop. It just doesn't stop. And so what happens is we stay stuck in the stress state, sometimes in this freeze state. And what happens is our body doesn't repair itself. It's not restoring itself. It's not digesting food properly, or at least fully. Then we start having gut issues, ulcerative colitis, IBS, all sorts of
adrenal fatigue.
Okay. Another one. Yeah. All sorts of things because their body is not repairing itself. Like to this day, I've not met someone who's had gut issues who has not either been very highly stressed or high anxiety. Mm. I still haven't met them. So what happens is when we are stressed out and stuck in stress, sometimes we forget what's like not to be stressed. So it becomes normal, which things becomes even worse. But our bodies don't repair itself. It doesn't recover. And so what happens is our body starts to break down because consistently trying to use resources instead of trying to repair itself and build them back up. And so that's why over time we experience breakdown. Like I found the autoimmune issues are usually a freeze response. Usually there's a lot of anxiety involved in that. And it usually tends to surface. A lot of times seems to surface like in the 40s. It's like their bodies reach a point where it just can't keep going on the same way and start experiencing the breakdowns. So that's essentially, I'd say that one of the biggest lessons I've learned, you know, just as far as like pain about health is that most people are stressed out. They're way too stressed out because of life and the way they respond to it from what they've learned in childhood, and they're not aligned with themselves. And so that essentially causes the body to go into a stress response. And that's why they're not here.
Well, you know, I know there are people in the audience that might be struggling right now in life, whether it's their circumstances, their health. You know, is there any advice or encouragement you would give anyone that's listening or that you'd like to share?
Yeah, I have a lot of things. First, I would say that a lot of times people are providing like one-dimensional solutions for multidimensional problems. And a lot of times when people are in pain, there's a multi-step process. It might be first, they need to get themselves out of stress, get themselves back into a relaxed state. Then we might have to address, you know, some bad lifestyle habits. Maybe there's some muscle imbalances. There's some might be some things that need to be addressed in a specific sequence. And we go to the different practitioners, and the chiropractor only adjusts people. The physical therapist only does corrective exercise, and sometimes not even effective ones. Sometimes just give people overall pamphlets. I've seen that a lot of times. I've even seen the physical therapist isn't even there. They let the interns take over. They don't even watch the session. Wow. So then the acupuncturist only does needles. And like I said, I'm a fan of acupuncture. I love the Eastern medicine philosophy, but I think the wise ones know that by itself, it's not a complete solution. And then the massage therapist only does massage. So they're going to all these different people for their health issues, and they're getting this one-dimensional solution for a problem that requires a specific process of multiple things. I know that people can heal. The body can heal because the body wants to heal. The body is always trying to heal, but it can't when it's in survival mode, because then it's prioritized survival over, you know, reparation. Because if you don't survive, then it doesn't matter if you digest food or absorb nutrients like that. And so that's why people's health are breaking down. I think that's why it's often very, very hard to find solutions. My advice would be your own advocate. Be your own advocate for your health, because no one else is going to look after your health the way you will. And two, learn from each practitioner and learn about your body rather than trying to rely on them. Because no matter how credentialed you are, we all have a body, and we all have to learn how to take care of this thing, no matter what our qualifications are. And so it's up to us to take the actions in order to learn. And because of the way the industry is, you may not get everything from one practitioner. You may get a piece from one practitioner, then a piece from another practitioner. And then through, you know, having conversations, you figure out how to put these pieces together. And so I would say, come with a learning mindset. Come trying to learn, understand your body. And if you do that, then you're more likely to move forward, even when things don't work, because you'll find pieces here and there that you'll be able to grab and put together, and you'll be able to find your own recipe that works for you. And I think that is the best way to take care of your health and repair your health, is to come with a learning mindset, because a lot of times all the answers don't come from one person.
But I think the reason why it's so difficult is pain is harder than anything else. And people want a quick fix because nobody wants to be in pain. So they want to just go to the chiropractor and one adjustment be it. And yeah, I'm so glad that you said it's a process and a system that can unfold to get to complete healing, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And like I said, when you're in pain, you know, especially when you're just fed up, like, you'll do anything to get out of pain. And that's why I said there is the medication. There's other practitioners who'll be like, oh, you just need an adjustment. You just need this. But you know, the real practitioners, the great practitioners know that it is a process, and that is a multi-step process. And the real struggle sometimes is figuring out what that process is. That can be the hardest part. But like you said, listening to your intuition is so key, because your body is always talking to you. Your body is always sending you signals, giving you messages. I kind of equate your body kind of like a baby. It's not going to communicate to you in English, and it won't tell you exactly what the problem is, but it will cry out to you. It will send you messages. And so it's your job to figure out how to decipher those and to figure out, you know, what exactly is going on. But if you listen to your intuition, and like you say, you learn from other people, which is really huge, then answers will start to come. And I will say the greatest insights and transformations of my life have come from following my intuition. I've come from the things that feel right, but don't make logical sense. And I think that we have to reach a point where we are not worried about the approval of others to really hone in and listen to it. Right. Lots of, I think the reason people don't listen to intuition is because it doesn't make sense, or they're afraid of being judged, or they judge themselves because they learn to judge themselves. And that's why they sometimes end up veering off path. But You know, it's crazy how much your gut knows. And this reason why we now call the gut the first brain and this the second brain, because there's so much deep wisdom in there. And when you really listen to it, the answers are there. And it really provides the real truth. And so listening to your intuition.
This has been amazing. You've given us so much information that I hope everybody is digesting and taking in. But how do people find you? If somebody wants to contact you, they're interested in learning more about you, working with you, or even having you come speak on your podcast, how do they reach out to you? What's the best way?
Yeah. So Instagram right now and Clubhouse are the two best ways. And so my Instagram is at Dan_Reprime, R-E-P-R-I-M-E. And so that on my Instagram, you can send messages, I answer. Clubhouse, I believe it's just Reprime. It's Reprime. Great. And so you can find me in rooms there. I have a club called Heal Your Body from Pain. And so we have rooms every Wednesday. And then we have other random rooms and speakers there. We provide panels of amazing experts. I bring people from all different backgrounds who are just real like experts in what they do with the body. And it's very awesome because like you said, Clubhouse is just a great, great resource. And it's so cool, like for me as a practitioner, like I said, I've learned so much from the people because people come with questions and I answer them in the way that I know and I provide the information that I have. And then you hear someone else who's also great with the Duke provide an answer and you start realizing like things you missed or they saw things that you didn't. And it goes both ways.
You saw things that they didn't. So exactly. it goes both ways.
And it's so amazing. Yeah, just to be in those rooms and to listen to people, there's so many gems. And so I'm really committed to providing resources for people in pain because I felt like when I was in pain, I couldn't find the resources I was looking for and either they didn't exist or I couldn't find them. And so my goal is to make the resources easier and more accessible for people so they can get real answers. And support that they need.
That's wonderful. And what's next on the horizon for you? Do you have any big, I like to ask people that because, you know, you're in your craft and your genius right now doing this, but I always love to ask, do you have any long-term goals? Like, is there something big that you're reaching for? And we'd just love to know.
Yes. My mission is to help 10 million people out of pain. I want to change the way this industry is seen because people are not getting help they're looking for. And so, and then a lot of the times they're just getting drugs or surgery that's provided as the best answer, or a lot of times it isn't. And so I have a membership site membership that I just created. It's a monthly membership. It's very, very cheap. It's $27 a month and I provide videos and resources. I go live twice a month and it's to provide a resource for people. A lot of times when people are in pain, they aren't exactly financially in the best place. Either they've already spent a ton of money and their accounts are exhausted, or their pains prevent them from having a job. They're no longer struggling to work, they're on disability. And so what I want to do is I want to make getting the resources affordable for people. And so it's a way to get close to me because like I said, I go live as well as I post a lot of videos with different categories. It's cataloged in a way where you can, if you're looking for a certain thing, you can find it. And so I'm providing a lot of resource for people. So that way, if they have problems, they can go there, they can find it. And then on top of that, of course, I have Clubhouse, which I do for free. I have my Instagram, which is for free as well. And so my goal is to help 10 million people out of pain. I want to really kind of diversify. I want my company to grow real big. I want to get my message really out there. And so people really understand that your body can heal, that there is a way. They just haven't figured it out yet. And that's keywords, yet.
So remember this, guys. Dan, reprime yourself. You were already stepping into that mission and the people are come. You speak it and they're going to come. So I'm so excited about that for you. And I'd love to end every podcast with the same question for each guest. So this podcast is called the Honor It All podcast. And I'd like to ask you, what are you choosing to honor today?
Today, I'm choosing to honor my emotions. And this is something that I used to be the least emotionally intelligent person, or one of the least. Because when I was in college, my social anxiety was so bad I couldn't hold a conversation. So it was pretty extreme, and I had to get through that. And I wasn't aware of a lot of the things that I was stuffing and pushing down. And a lot of times, and early in my life, I mean, even up to like 5+ years ago, you know, I saw emotions as just kind of things that kind of got in the way that weren't really helpful. And I realized that the emotions are there for a reason, that emotions are part of our instincts, and they come from the way we internalize and interpret, you know, certain things that happen to us. And this is why, like, if you won the lottery, like, you wouldn't be angry or sad, right?
Yeah. It was like, no, I'd be very happy.
Exactly. And if you like parked your car somewhere and then you came back and realized that someone had hit it and like smashed the back of it, you wouldn't be excited. Like, yeah. No. And so I realized that every emotion we feel comes from the way that we've internalized the environment, and every emotion has unconscious language attached to us. And so when we are experiencing emotions that we either don't want to feel or disregard them, then we're really disregarding as a part of ourselves. And so understanding our emotions and how we're feeling, I think, is key to understanding ourselves, and it's key to life, because what makes life what it is the emotions. Emotions are life. And it's like, if you could make all the money in the world, you could have the best friends and whatnot, but if you can't feel anything, then life is meaningless. So I'm learning how to really honor my emotions, even the ones that I'm afraid to express. And so that's something that I've been doing a lot of deep work on. It's kind of been the part of my growth that I've been honoring the most.
That's beautiful. Well, Dan, thank you so much for being on the Honor It All podcast.
Yeah.
And until next time, remember, everyone, we are not promised tomorrow. So be present today. It's a gift, and take time to honor it all.
Awesome. Thank you for having me.